You know, one thing that we don't like to acknowledge, when I say that, not as rebellion against God, but as the fear of calamities and tragedies. One thing that we don't like to acknowledge, and that is the fact that God will bring destruction on us. As an individual, we don't like to acknowledge that, because no one wants destruction. And yet it's very obvious that all through the Bible, the Lord speaks of bringing destruction. He speaks of bringing destruction. So, because of this, it bothers us. It bothers us because we know that by the same means as to bless us, God can curse us. And we know that He's angry with the wicked every day, and He said, I'll destroy the wicked from off of the face of the earth. See, when you look and see this great hurricane that's sweeping around 500,000 homeless, and still the thing is in a rage, it really gets down deep on the inside, because one hurricane, such as Hurricane Gilbert, can literally tear America all to pieces, can ruin America to where she'd never recover from it. Because I understand that it's reaching out, and I might be wrong about this, and if I am, I'm only speaking from what I've heard, that it's reaching out 450 miles long. And can you imagine what a devastating blow a 450 miles long could do if it went across America and swept clear across America in some of the vital spots of America? They would never recover from it. It'd be such a terrible thing. And I dare say that Jamaica, between now and the coming of the Lord, even if the Lord tarried long, will never recover from what this hurricane has done. That's how bad it is. See, destruction. And someone would say, God, where is your compassion? Where is your compassion? 500,000 people, and you're still letting the devil rage. See, and you're allowing the devil to do all of this and make people homeless. Where is your compassion? All of those little babies and children being killed and ripped to pieces, and all of these things happening. And we say, what kind of God are you? But folks, then we come back to one thing. Even though God said evil cannot come to a city unless I've seen it, yet we come back to one thing, and that is as to send it, God is telling that it cannot come unless He allows it. Like when Job came before God, and He wanted permission to torment Job, God didn't send Satan. That is, when Satan came before God, He didn't send Lucifer to torment Job. But He gave permission for Lucifer to torment Job. See, so all of this horribleness, it's not of God. It is of man. Man is the one that has give place to the devil. Man give place to the Hurricane Gilbert. It is man that gives place to cancer. Someone would say, well, I don't see that. Well, there was no cancer before man gave place to sin. There was no sickness. There was no travail. Even travail is a curse. There was no labor among the thorns. Even having to labor in the sweat of your brow is a curse. There wasn't anything like this. All of this came about because man gave place to the devil. And in spite of the mistake of our forefathers and the warnings that come forth from the preachers and all of the different ones that love God as to their warning, in spite of all of that, people still are contrary. People still are evil. People still are wretched. People still cheat and swindle and lie. People still break in to homes and wreck homes, taking men and wives when they don't belong to them. Having fed you to the full, and then each man knees after his neighbor's wife, like a horse, won't I visit for these things, saith the Lord? Still evil thoughts are there, and men won't forsake their evil thoughts. Still they won't clean their minds. Still they won't repent and be sorry for their wrongs. They're still haughty and hard, and still want to fight and have war and kill. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says when the sun becomes so fierce until it scorches men, they still won't repent. They'll curse God. They will actually curse God. Instead of repenting, they will curse God. When all of the plagues come upon them, the Bible said to pray always that God will account you as being worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. See, with all of this, all of these things is coming, as to the plagues, the curses, man is wretched, man is wicked, man won't listen, man won't repent, and they'll still curse their Maker in spite of all of that. So you see, it isn't God, it's man. Man gives place to these things. Man gives place. Let's read this right here in chapter 31 of Ezekiel, where he's speaking of the very thing where man gave place and how it came to pass as to his judgment. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his bough was multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his bough, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt and great nations. Thus was fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his bough, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick bar, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains and in all the valleys. His branches are fallen, and his bars broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow, and have left him. Upon his ruins shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick bar, neither the trees stand up in their height, all that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether part of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I refrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed, and I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. And I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descended into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were in his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Now, if you'll notice this, the Lord is reproving, as you would say, Pharaoh. But actually what he's speaking of is Satan, who has exalted himself in Pharaoh. And he goes on to say in the 32nd chapter, and it came to pass in the 12th year, and in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations. Thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beast of the whole earth with thee, and I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains and fill the valley with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. When I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the heart of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man, for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them. And they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and all the multitudes thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoof of beast trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. Now, God loves us. That's the first thing to remember. God is love. God loves us, but when we do evil, then we're in trouble. The Bible said concerning the minister, if you do good, he is there for your blessing. But if you do evil, then be afraid, for the minister is God's revenger, and he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. That is, he will curse you, and then you're in trouble to pluck up and to plant. The Lord wants to help you. As a matter of fact, this comes to my mind, a man that pulled in last night. A wonderful person. The man wanted to go on with the Lord, and the Lord showed me that he had something in his life that he wasn't doing right. And he had it hid, cleverly hid, to where nobody could find it out. But the Lord let us know anyway. And so he went on trying to preach, and he went on trying to do certain things. So everything went wrong. His home busted up. He called me, couldn't understand it, would never confess his wrong, but always was telling me he had troubles and he just didn't understand it because he was always trying to serve the Lord and do the things for God. And all the time, this hypocritical thing was in his life. So then the Lord revealed to me that God was going to bless him. So I was talking to him over the telephone, and I told him. And I said, as to your wife, God had showed me that the man about had enough of his hypocrisy, that God had put him through the fire, and he was going to try to straighten up his life. And I said, as for your wife who left you, I said, she's fixing to return. I said, I just prayed, and she's fixing to return to you. And he took my word. Sure enough, he left off with his hypocrisy. The best I remember, I said, it shall be a quick thing that the Lord's going to do in the return of your companion, though she absolutely was not going to return, according to what she had said, and had been away for a long time, until they'd lost everything that they had, practically everything, including her home. But nevertheless, I got the report today that after our prayer, just a few days following, it's just been just recently that the wife has come back to him. God has blessed him. He's given up his hypocritical doings, and he has confessed it, and everything is going along good. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So, when you see a person that is a Christian, that is professing Christianity, and this individual does not prosper, don't let them tell you that God is just upset with them and that God doesn't love them and they found out that things ain't like the preacher said it was and all these other kind of things. Just remember one thing, that person is not straight. Because the person that is straight will prosper. The word of God cannot be altered, it cannot be changed, it cannot be broken. And the Bible said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Not meaning that because you prosper, you are a Christian. You may be as supposedly a Christian. You may be prospering, could be someone in the world prospering. That doesn't mean that you have God. It doesn't mean God is with you. For the Bible said, supposing that worldly gain is godliness, from such turn away. Because that doesn't mean anything. But it is a true fact that if you are trying to serve God as a Christian and you do the right thing and you confess your sins and you forsake your sins, you will prosper. And the person that is among you that is not prospering, it is because they will not confess their sins and they will not do the right thing. So don't let them put it off as any other thing. If you're not lazy, if you're industrious, if you're willing to work, and of course, if you're not willing to do those things, then you're not a Christian to start with. But if you are willing to do those things, just to do whatever is right, God will prosper you. Otherwise, the judgments of God will be upon you. There's no need of the wife getting upset with the husband, or the husband getting upset with the wife. There's no need of the husband, or rather the wife, saying that the husband isn't prospering, or the home isn't prospering, because the husband won't work, because he may be working every day and putting it into bags with holes in it, and God will blow upon it because the Bible said he lets the house of God lay waste. Or because he is not confessing his sins, or that is to say, they're running around on the side watching the non-virtuous things on TV. They just got to have them. And they're reading the non-virtuous things in magazines, and they're noticing the sports, and they're going after the things of the world. See, they're going after the things of the world. They're backbiting. They're gossiping. They're finding fault. They're saying things concerning the work of God. They're not giving to God. They're not sharing with God. The Bible teaches that the man that shares with God, that God will pour out blessings. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. And if you sow sparingly, he said, you might as well get ready for a to reap sparingly. If I go out into the field and I put 50 cents worth of seed into the ground, Brother Taylor, there's no need of me going out looking for $10 worth. But if I put $10 worth in the ground, then I can go expecting $10 worth if the blessing of the Lord is upon it and if I'll get out and work it. I know that as a boy coming up on the farm. We got whatever we put in the ground. And sometimes we got some things that we didn't put into the ground, but it wasn't a harvest as to the good seeds, but it was the tares. So then I read to you here as to the 31st chapter of Ezekiel, the prophecy. He is speaking of Satan as he was in the garden before the deception. And as to the tree of knowledge, liken him to the tree of knowledge. He is also speaking here of when he cast him down to hell, which has to do with Calvary. When God made Jesus sin, Satan was cast down to hell. Because God rejected him and the heavens become dark. The earth shook, and it was there that God cast Satan down to hell, and Jesus, being made sin, went down into the chambers of hell. For the Bible said God suffered not his Holy One to see corruption as to the body, and neither did he leave his soul in hell. So then we see that the fall of Jesus was to show the fall of Satan, and that with this, that it brought salvation to you and I. And then he spoke of the darkness that was about them that brought the destruction, saying he spoke likened unto a whale. That is to say, as to bring you up out of the deep, dark pit. I'll bring you up on the face of the earth. And then, as the Bible said, Gog and Magog coming up on the face of the earth to make war against God. He said, I'll just lay you out there as a whale that came up out of the deep and cannot get back into the water until you corrupt and the fowls of the air devour you. Or that is to say, as the devils and demons eat you up. Speaking of people that are out in the midst of darkness, and speaking of Satan again, for he said, I'll make the valley to run with blood. And I'll fill the rivers, the ocean with blood. If you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that God is going to fill the valley with blood. And God is going to fill the oceans with blood. The Bible speaks of a third part of the ships being destroyed. And then it speaks of a third part there becoming blood. The whole thing is turned into blood. Because God is going to spill the blood of millions of people. So then when you think of this horrible tragedy that's taking place right now. When you think of the Hurricane Gilbert and all the evil things that it's doing as to tear down, destroy, and as to this terrible calamity that's befalling the people, though your heart would go out to them in compassion, you've got to remember that God has for hundreds of years give those people of the islands as to reproduction, as the generation to generation opportunity, and has in our present generation given them all kind of mercies so that they would not have this horrible calamity. But see, while I was in Jamaica, you could hear the music ringing out everywhere. Ringing out everywhere, drunks strolling up and down the streets. The barrooms filled up. But folks, they were just as religious as Cain. You could talk about God and talk about religion, and they wanted you to know that they were on their way to heaven, that they had God and everything was just so, and that they was as good as anybody, but just drunkards and harlots and all kind of things, knowing the way of God. Now, let me tell you something. As long as it's a drunkard, as long as it's a harlot, and they don't know the way of God, the Bible said the drunkards and the harlots go in before the religious people. But when you get to be a religious person and you know the way of God, then you get to be a harlot and you get to be a drunkard and you go out and do the things of the world knowing the things of God, then you doom and damn your soul. You cut yourself off because there is no atonement for willful sin. I know preachers may preach, you can repent and come back and all these other things after you do these things and get into the depths of Satan. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says there is no remission of sin for willful sin. There is no remission. So when you willfully do things, it's not a matter of backsliding. God's people don't backslide. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, God's people, just backslide and they get caught out there and they do the things of the world when they've been a good child of God, and they've been out there about 6 or 7 years after that, and they come back and they get right with God and they go to heaven. God's people don't do that. Somebody said, well, they just backslid. There is no such thing as backsliding in God. You cannot backslide from God. I use the terms a lot of times, backslid, and so does preachers, because we try to have a term as to what you can understand when you get careless in the Lord. But when you go willfully after the things of the world, go out there and freely give yourself to those things, it is a positive proof that you've never known God and never seen God. Because those things are ugly, and those things are sin. And the Bible said, he that sinneth hath never known God or never seen God. So when you go back out there in those things, you're not backsliding. It just proves that you are a devil. You might have come in and got under the reign of God, and you might have come in and got under the blood covering, and that the blood is taking away the sins of the world right now. So as you can be wooed to church to have your opportunity. And you may have come in and got cleansed to that extent as the sow that has been washed from her wallowing in the mire and the dog from his vomit, but it didn't change the fact that you are a sow. And it didn't change the fact that you are a dog. And the Bible said, after that you have been washed, you'll go back to your wallowing in the mire, and the dog will go back to the lapping of his vomit. So then when you go back out, you're not backsliding, because there is no backsliders with God. God said, I will heal your backsliding, and he healed the backsliding at Calvary. And now there is no backsliders in God. They are elect according to foreknowledge. They keep themselves, and the evil one touched them not, and they are perfected forever by the sanctification of Christ, even the offering up of his body. So then they are clean, they love God, they don't even have a conscience of sin, they have no desire to go back into the world, they will not go back into the world. They may stumble, they may stagger, they may have a problem as they go on with God, but you won't find them going back into the world. See, only devils will go back. And the Bible says that if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So then they're not of us. They haven't been of us. They've never seen God to begin with, because they go back to the wallowing in the mire. But they did get washed. They did get washed. But the thing is, they were a pig. The thing is, they were a sow. The thing is that they left their vomit, but they are a dog. And can a dog be a child of God? Can a sow be a child of God? Though they came in and they got washed, but they are a sow and they are a dog. And their nature is for those things, so they go right back to the wallowing in the mire, and they go right back to their lapping of the vomit, because they never were children of God. They were sows, they were pigs, and they were dogs to begin with. All right, so then we see what God is telling us. We are children of God. We are cleansed from our sins. And we do not backslide, because God healed our backsliding. And he said, as to your terms of backsliding, as to what you consider a backslider, he said, woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. So then God, being married unto a backslider, that is his bride. Can a backslider then be a pig? Can a backslider be a dog? Can a backslider then go out to the wallowing in the mire and the lapping of the vomit, and God be married to them? No. A backslider is someone that may get discouraged. Someone that may drift as to their steadfastness in God is for working for God or doing something for God, but they still don't mess with the world. A backslider, somebody said, well, I think a backslider is somebody that just drifts back and decides to watch television for 2 or 3 years and get into the frolics and do whatever they want to, you know. I think that that isn't a backslider. I think that is a devil, because they are wallowing in the mire. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. But if you drift back, you get a little cold, like a wife sometimes. She doesn't want the affection of the husband, or the husband doesn't want the affection of the wife, because something's a little off color, or they spoke wrong to each other, or something is in their mind and they don't feel good about it. See, a backslidden condition, but they are still married to one another. But if that man goes out and he goes out to harlotry, or the woman goes out to harlotry, then it's not a matter of being married to them anymore, because the Bible says that when these things happen, God severs the bonds. Because light is not joined to darkness, the woman is no longer bound to the man, or the man to the woman. Now it has been said, and I'm not coming against anybody or anything, I'm just here to preach the word. But it has been said that a man can put away his wife, but the wife cannot put away the husband. But according to the Bible, it said if a man put away his wife, and it said if the wife put away her husband for any other reason except for the cause of fornication, married another, they committed adultery. So either one can put away, either one can depart. See, so I'm saying to you that God is married to the backslider. The man and woman is still married together because they are clean. They are clean. Now, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, because a lot of times I'm asked questions even after I preach these things. I've said to you that if you are married, we're getting on the marriage subject here just for a few minutes now. If you are married to a person, then that person, if they be not a Christian, you are not to leave them if they be pleased to dwell with you. Speaking of the things of God and the cleanliness of God as to the church. So if they be a sinner as to the woman, if they be a sinner as to the man, and they are pleased to dwell with the mate, you're not to put them away. Now, being pleased to dwell with one another means that they're going to subject themselves to you and not go through evil practices of drinking and ugliness and all these other things. See, they are a sinner. They are not living for God. But that does not mean that the man is unclean because the woman is unclean. The man is a Christian. So the power of uncleanliness hath no power over cleanliness. But cleanliness hath power over uncleanliness, because you have power over all the powers of the enemy. And so then nothing can hurt you or your righteousness, and no one can lay anything to your charge, nor can Satan ever touch you as God's elect. So then the unbelieving, because of the power and strength of your righteousness, is sanctified. The unbelieving is sanctified. So in the sight of God, you're two sanctified people. That is, as to man to wife, or wife to man. And the Bible said this is for the purpose, else your children be unclean. Your children would be unclean in the sight of God if God did not sanctify the other party. So in this, your children are clean. Now, someone would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that a little child is unclean in the sight of God? Absolutely not. He's not so far as his birth. His spirit beholdeth the face of the Father which is in heaven, because he's never come to the age of accountability. But unclean to the extent that he is your children, and if you're unclean, then that means that God cannot get to him, because we're all born in iniquity and there is no sanctification over him for God to protect him, and he can get killed anywhere or something can happen to him because they're unclean in the sight of God, because there's no cleansing or sanctification for them. All right. Also, the sanctifying power as to the individual goes no farther than the grave. The reason it doesn't reach any farther than the grave is because the man and the woman is not bound together at death. The Bible teaches that the law of the husband ruleth over the woman so long as he liveth. If he be dead, then the woman is free from the laws of the husband. So then the sanctification is gone if the wicked die and leave the sanctified party. The wicked hath no sanctification beyond the grave, and they go into hell because they're not sanctified. It is only a living sanctification. There's many means of sanctification, as to the sanctification unto salvation, which is by the works of God, and then there is sanctification whereby we sanctify ourselves daily. This is a sanctification that God has given that it might cleanse your house and give God a chance to come in and fellowship you and protect your little ones. So the unbelieving is sanctified by the believing, else your children be unclean in the sight of God. Now, I said all of that to come back to this. It is true that the blood is on the seat of atonement. And at this particular time, there is a sanctification over the world. And you can, even as a sow, come in and get washed and wash the mud off of you. And even as a dog, come in from the vomit. You can come in and get washed as to a sanctifying thing, as to a temporary thing. But there is no sanctification beyond the blood, beyond this life. That is to say, you can be made partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste of the power of God and the power of the world to come, of the good word of God, as to the sanctification that is present right now. You can do that. God will let you do that. You can come into the presence of the preacher and of the church and be just as religious as anybody else. They can lay hands on you, pray for you, and you can be healed. And as it was with Judas, it is so great and so mighty that he actually obtained part of the ministry. And the Bible carries this on over to say that there are men that are preachers, that are they are men of the devil. And they have transformed their minds or thinking by the renewing of their mind and studying the Word or going to college to study the Bible. And they've transformed their minds, and that Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or there are people that are in the church. They've transformed their minds, and they have what you call will worship, to will themselves to go to church, to listen at the preacher, to know about these things, to be in the presence of God, to feel the rain that comes down on the tare and on the wheat. But they still go to hell. When they die, there is no sanctification. They have not been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They do not have salvation, though they are believers. But the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. In their heart, they love the things of the world. In their bodies, they love passions. They're given to passions. They cannot die out the passions. They cannot overcome passions. In their minds, they're tormented. They're continually filled with lust. And the Bible said, while they promise others liberty, they themselves are the children of corruption, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Because the Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes as well as the lust of the flesh. So, I said this to try to point out something. I'm not going to take a long time here. But I said this to try to point out something. And that is that we are clean if we are children of God. But all of the world is clean in the sight of God to the extent that the blood is on the seat of atonement. That's why he doesn't destroy it. That's why he doesn't call the earth to open up and swallow the people up as in the days of Moses. All of the people of the world, Jesus took away the sins of the world, having reconciled the world unto himself by his own blood. But I tell you again, it's only a dispensational grace whereby you can be partakers of the blessings and love of God, that he might woo you to repentance, to give the elect a chance to come in and to bless you during this time, to give the love of God. But I want you to know, folks, he's angry with the wicked every day. When they get the idea out in the world or in the churches of today that God loves them and God's with them because God is healing them, it is not true at all. Somebody says, you mean to tell me that God don't love them people? God doesn't love them people. Someone would say, you mean all the millions of the people of the world, God doesn't love them? God doesn't love them. As a matter of fact, he is angry with the wicked every day. He says, I will pursue the wicked until they perish from off of the face of the earth. That's what he said. Someone would say, but he looked at the rich young ruler and loved him. I know he did, because the rich young ruler said, the commandments have I kept from my youth up. So then, when you look at this thing, God hates them. I've used this illustration a number of times. Can I say to Brother Taylor, I love you, Brother Taylor. I love you. Blessed art thou, Brother Taylor. As soon as I get a chance, I'm going to blow your brains out. I'm going to turn you into ashes. I'm going to take you from off of the face of the earth. I'm going to pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. But oh, how I love you. Let's give the Lord a hand. That doesn't make any sense, does it? God doesn't love the wicked. God doesn't care for the wicked. God hates the wicked because the wicked continually trouble the righteous. And the wicked kill and the wicked steal. And the wicked, like a wicked man, will kill a little child. A wicked mother will kill her own baby. Can God then love that kind of thing? No, he is looking at it through the blood of Jesus. And he is only loving according to that he has created in the garden when man was pure in his sight, looking upon them as that which he cannot see their sins. But he is angry with the wicked every day. Their prayers are abomination in his sight. It doesn't matter if they have a church or a church gathering or many churches. All of their praying is an abomination in his sight. They can go to church and pray all they want to, give all they want to. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, they give money to evangelize the world. Jesus said they give money to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell. So then, when I look at it, I look at it the way that God looks at it. So, we're going to have to be clean. We are children of God. We don't have any sin. God has taken away our sins. He hath made us clean and made us holy. He hath healed the backsliding. So you don't go out into the world and backslide to do those things of the world. You don't do that. You don't come to God after being out there being a harlot and being a drunkard once you have known the things of God. And willfully go back out there and then come back to God and then say everything is all right. You don't do that because there is no remission of sin for willful sin. And if anybody here or anywhere in the world that hears what I'm saying can prove it any other way, I want to hear from them. I want to meet them. I want to talk to them. There is absolutely no remission of sin for willful sin as to atonement. There is none. It has to be paid for. Jesus paid for your sins while you were yet in your sins, in that he saw you by foreknowledge not doing the things of the world and the things that are evil of the flesh when he saw you repent of your sins in his foreknowledge and come to him. So he wiped away your sins. And there is no sin to a Christian, a sinner. A Christian does not sin. They cannot sin. They keep themselves, and the evil one toucheth them not. And the reason is not because they do not make mistakes. I want to clear this up. It is not because they do not make mistakes, because some of them just fumble around and blunder more than even people out young in the world as to the multitude of their problems. But the thing is, they cannot sin because the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. There are people in the world whose sins are gone. They're covered. Their iniquities are covered by the blood. Their sins are gone, and God has made them elect according to foreknowledge, and when they stumble and stagger, God will not impute sin unto them, so they never sin at any time in their life. The blood is between them and their mistake, but those mistakes, those stumblings, those errors are without will. They are without desire. They are without conscience of sin, and that is why that God hath no conscience of sin as to a Christian, because he doth not impute sin unto that person. So then faith is there. They cannot sin because they are born to faith, born to the seed of God that remaineth in them as to the reminding of their promise. And the only thing they ever do in their entire lifetime is to stumble, to stagger, trying to serve God. But folks, take it from me that any time that a person leaves and goes out into the world and goes back out into sin, it means they've never been born again. They don't know God. They've never known God. Somebody would say, well, do you think they can ever come to know God? Possibly coming in and going back out and coming in and going back out, they may eventually come to God and get born again. They may get their eyes open. But on the other hand, there are those that come and get their eyes open to begin with and know better than to do that. And the Bible said, and they taste of the heavenly gift. And they are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And they taste of the Word of God and the power of the world to come. And then they go back out. And the Bible said to renew them again unto repentance, it is impossible. For they crucify Christ afresh, put him to an open shame. And the Bible said God will not crucify Christ again. They have to have another crucifixion. They have to have another atonement. They have to have another Lord Jesus Christ to come and die for them. And Jesus will not die for them the second time. It said that having tasted and then come back, it is impossible to renew them again under repentance. Seeing that they would have to have another crucifixion, whereas there is no more crucifixion. So there is no atonement from the first crucifixion for their sins, and there is no more a dying of the Lord Jesus Christ for the second atonement. Let's give him a hand. Let's stand together. I preach this to you. I tell you the truth because I love you. I'll help you in any way that I can. But folks, one thing that we don't need to do, and that's compromise the gospel and play around. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I know that David sinned against God, committed murder, took another man's wife, married dozens of women, and he was still God's beloved. First of all, David said, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. He fasted many days, many times. His children were killed. His loved ones was taken. And God said, David, you'll never get around war no more. Said there'll be war as long as you are on the throne. For the sword as to war shall never depart from your house. Somebody said, I'm like David. I do these things and God forgave me. I'm telling you, folks, David did not have the infilling of the Spirit of God. He did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. He did not. He did not have it. That's why that those things were as they were. That's why it was with Abraham as to two wives and still becoming the father of the faithful. That is why it was with David as many wives, many other different things that they did. It was because they did not have the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord as the gift of the Spirit, because it had not yet been given. But you have Him on the inside to never leave you nor forsake you, to tutor you, to teach you. And the Bible said He shall instruct you and shall guide you into all truth and all righteousness, to inwardly reveal to you what is right. And then knowing that, and doing the things that you do, you can be sure there's no remission of sin. Let's sing a little chorus together. At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our hearts rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy on the day. Sing it with me. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Well, I will sing again. At the cross, the altars are open, and you can come to the altar if you like. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Sing it again, Penny. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing I Love Him. I love Him. Can you sing it with me? I love Him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary. Let's sing it like this now. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Sing it again. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in God's book. Sing it one more time with me. I'd like to come to the altar. It's open. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. We don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want no diamond ring. For all that we want is the love of Jesus. For to me, He's everything. Sing it again. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond rings. For all that I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, God's everything. Sing it again. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond. For all that I want is the love of Jesus. Can you lift your hand? For me. One more time, lift up your hands with me, can you? If you really mean it, sing it with me. We don't. Sing it with me. And I don't want no diamond ring. For all I want is the love of Jesus.
for to me is everything.
Somebody say hallelujah.
He was here all the time, and he was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here.
Can you sing that with me?
Let's sing it again. Jesus was here the time, and he was here waiting patiently in line. He was here. Oh, sing it again with me. Jesus was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here.
Can you sing it just one more time with me? You really believe that?
My Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here.
Sing it again.
Jesus was here all the time. He was here waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time.
You love the Lord? Let's sing this chorus together, Brother Taylor.
We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Can you sing it with me?
Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy.
Sing it again.
Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll God that has control. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy. Oh,
can you sing it again with me, folks?
So let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. One more time before we close. Well, let tomorrow bring tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, we'll be happy. Can you sing it just one more time with me? Well, let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Just one more time. Well, let tomorrow. And over the rain, we'll be happy, oh, so happy in our soul. Let's slip our hands up, close our eyes together. While we're standing here worshiping the Lord and thinking on the good things of God, let's remember that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love, an eternal love, an everlasting love. While we're standing here, I'm going to ask a brother from down in Alabama, Brother Terry, to come if he will. And while he's coming, I want him to pray with us. I love our brother. He's a very wonderful person. Been around him for quite a bit. And he's a very wonderful person. While he prays with us, why not do this? When you don't have anybody to pray for, or anybody to thank on as to asking God to help, thank on Brother Pike and Sister Betty and our little family. Thank on them. God is dealing with our family, and every one of them seems to really be coming in. They've had an experience with the Lord, and they seem to be coming in. And it looks like a real, genuine experience with God. And while they're coming in, we're praying for you and for your children. We're praying for your family. And we're asking God to help you. And we're asking God to help your family. And I'm asking God to save your family. And I believe God's doing it. And I believe He's answering our prayers. You know, I love Jesus. Oh, from the bottom of my heart, brethren, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm no more than you are. I'm no more than you are. I stumble and I stagger all through life. But you know, yesterday, I was hemmed in by some folks. And some of them was determined to find fault with me. Going back through my life, they unfolded it like a book. But I was able, by the grace of God, to say, go ahead, brethren, thumb through the pages. Look all you want to. Because I said to them, as I say to you, before the living God, as I live and breathe, I don't know of one tiny shadow, not even to that of a pinpoint, between me and God. Nothing that I've got here. Not nothing. That's the truth, so help me God. I love you with all purity, with all godliness. I am not under condemnation because God has saved me from condemnation. And you know what? I tell you this from the bottom of my heart. From the bottom of my heart, I tell you this. In the sight of God, by the righteousness of God, though you may stumble and stagger even as a child, I tell you it's the same between you and God. The evil one hath never touched you, for God hath made you perfect forever. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Don't that make you feel good to know that as we sing the song,
As we sing the song, we're going to sing this verse as Terry comes. Let's sing it, Brother Taylor. The bridegroom cometh. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it with me now. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning or night, we're all dressed in faultless white, and we're ready for the bride.